Like it aimed right.
Didn't go there.
Luke 6. We're in verse 24. Woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. We spent a lot of time on woe and rich yesterday. Rich here just means rich in not just money or things, but rich in opinions and ideas. And it just means rich in anything, abundance of anything. So it's the opposite of poverty. Rich and poor are opposite, but it isn't about money. It's about ability to complete things and ideas and being right. And got that?
Yes.
For you have received your consolation. Consolation is the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit as a comforter, except it's a different word for him, but it's paraklesis. And that's the comforter. You've received your consolation because you haven't seen the emptiness and vanity of life. All right, next, verse 25. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Again, full is another sort of a different way of expressing the same as rich. It's empiplemi, E-M-P-I-P-L-E-M-I, and it means fill full anything. And it's being full. The best way to describe it is it's, you know, the feeling that you get when you win an argument and you're right about something. So that's what pamplemi means. Or even if you don't win the argument, but you're dwelling and musing on, you're right about this, you're right about how people should act, you're right about the social mores, Jeff, and...
Is that being full of yourself?
Well, it's full of anything. All right, for you shall hunger. You shall be in the position where you crave ardently. Let's go to John 6. Now, first let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Ho! That means pay attention. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not real food, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Why do you eat and spend money for that which is not real food? And it's all a reference to back to Genesis 3, and the curse of the snake. Let's look at that. We look at it all the time, but it's time to look at it again.
What?
Genesis 3. 14. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, or by thy belly you shall be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And that is the human race. By their belly, or by their appetites, or by their lusts, they are led, and dust shall they eat all the days of their life. That's what they think will give them satisfaction. And no matter what it is, it's dust. Diamonds are hard dust. And let's put a coda on that. Let's go to Philippians 3. I'm not following my notes. I should follow my notes, Ronnie. We'd get done faster.
Yeah, we can kind of go in order.
Just be quiet, Ronnie. Philippians 3.
Wait a minute, I ain't there yet.
Well, that's because you're mouthing off. Are you there now?
I am there now.
Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And that's, you walk only by faith. That's the only thing to follow in anybody. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or transfigure our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So here, in Genesis 3, they're led by their belly. Here, the many walk, of whom they are led by their belly, by their appetites. And dust shall they eat all the days of their life. Anybody know about dust? You want me to do that for you, Ronnie?
Yeah.
All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think. What am I doing? We should be on Luke.
No, we're not. What
2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you there yet?
Yeah, I've been there.
You have not? I've been watching you.
There.
Would to God you would bear with me, or could bear with me, a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, obviously, he's talking to the body, to the bride. But I fear, listen carefully, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, or in the same way the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Serpent, corruption, and mind. I mean, serpent, beguiling, mind, corruption. You see, again, in the context of the way the sentence is written, there's no question that he is saying that your mind is the serpent. In the same way that the serpent beguiled Eve, unless you, I'm tired of talking about talking snakes and all. Anybody's mind been corrupted lately? Anybody left the simplicity that is in Christ? What?
Not lately.
What is your definition of lately?
Well,
Good. The reason that he is using in Luke the word hungry, and that you should, is that no matter how much dust you eat, you will always be hungry. No matter how fat you are, and no matter, have you ever watched these people that weigh like 600 pounds?
Try not to.
No, but what happened? Didn't they understand when they got like 10 pounds overweight that they should maybe do something about it? How did they get to 600 pounds overweight?
I don't know, but you know, you get 10 pounds overweight and you say, that's nothing. I'll lose that.
Are you talking about personal experience?
No, I've never been 600 pounds.
No, but you've been more than 10 pounds overweight.
When?
How about now?
What's that sour look on your face, Ronnie?
He's giving me a sneer. He's sneering.
That's a sneer, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, 12.
John 6.
Do the math.
Yeah, do the math.
See, that's what happens when Gary isn't here. I pick on Ronnie.
Yeah. I'll take the place of Gary.
I'm your whipping boy.
Oh, God. Verse 31, John 6. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now we have to start a little further. Let's start in verse 26. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. This is after he fed the 5,000. Labor not for the food which perisheth, but for that food which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he sent. He has sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. Then he goes on to say that in order to have that everlasting life, you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And then that drove him crazy, and 4,988 left. Now, I promise you, if you truly understood what he was saying, we would also leave him. Unless you have seen the emptiness and futility of all human life and activity. Then Boom. Unless you have eaten your whole life and it's never been full. Amen? All right, let's go back to Luke. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger, and woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And it's the same thing we studied in Matthew about that, so there's no need to go through all that again.
Same thing in verse 21. It just basically repeats itself.
Yeah, I know.
Why does it do that?
To emphasize. Anytime a verse is repeated like that in the scriptures, it's that emphasizes it. Anytime, like when you see the same thing, remember, like when we read Numbers 9, where it talks about how we are to be led, and if the
yeah, sometimes the prophets, sometimes the writers, I can understand that, but this is read.
Right, he repeated it. Yeah. Now, who wrote Luke? Luke did. Luke was with them from the beginning. He wasn't one of the 12. But everything that remember in the scriptures where Paul was real anxious about that they would bring him the parchments, the scrolls. Remember that? I don't remember where it is. Parchments. This is important, so let me find it. Pete, can you find it in your Bible? Parchment. It's one of the letters. Anyway, we'll find it later. The disciples knew that this guy, you know, at the end, they especially knew. And so you got to believe what happened. Here they have the word of God. Now, how are they going to? So they wrote down everything on these parchments, and they were copied, just like the Jews copy the Torah. And these parchments were carried by the disciples, and these parchments are where the four Gospels ended up being written from. And so, as faithfully as they could remember, and not just one memory, but as many of the disciples as were there, they copied these parchments for his sayings. And so, two things. One, it may have been that Jesus actually said it, that it was boom, boom, that we repeated it within a few verses. But it also may be that the disciple that wrote it, that actually wrote it, Luke in this case, thought that was so important that he emphasized it. So that's the only answer I have for the question. All right. Verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. False prophets is, well is kalos, which means it's this, remember, it's that which is good. It's another way or another word as agathos, which is the other word for good. But false prophets is pseudo prophetes. It's obvious pseudo is still the word we use for false. But it's critical that for your discernment's sake, you are able to recognize a false prophet. Now, how do you do that? How do you know if there's a false prophet? Well, the first way you know, if you believe this Bible, is in 1 John. In the 4th chapter, it says, there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. Hereby you know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit or prophet that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of that Antichrist. Now, it doesn't matter. He can say he did come and that he will come. But unless he's saying he is come, he's, according to the scriptures, he's a false prophet. Another biggie is 2 Thessalonians. We studied that last night. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because I want you to bet your life that you know the scriptures and that no other voice will you follow. All right.
Can you give me the previous reference, scripture reference for saying that Jesus is coming?
1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And two.
I can't find
Go to General Electric Power Company.
Oh, you know why I couldn't find it?
Because you're looking in the Old Testament.
You were really looking in the Old Testament.
Yeah. My incredible Bible scholars here. Are you from California too?
Who?
You've got the seat of the scorner, so you're Gary's. Yeah. You're taking over Gary's chair.
I'm not from California, though. No, I'm here.
You were far to the left of where you needed to be.
All right. Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, beg of you, brethren, and by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by a letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now there you go. I have said for 38 years the day of Christ is at hand. And so either I should be totally ignored or I've got to prove to you that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, it's the next verse. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I believe that we have revealed the man of sin, the son of perdition. So, therefore, we can say that is the last day is here. But you have to know that. Doesn't do any good for me to know it. Let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come except there come a falling away, apostasy, first, and that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I've said to you, and I believe, and I teach, that the Antichrist, that man, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or worship, is you, is your mind, is all men. And he's been revealed.
then how do we get away from that?
What Jesus said. Abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself. You cannot trust your mind, your emotions for anything.
Yep.
It's true. Yep.
It's perdition, I've forgotten. Is that?
That's hell.
Who?
Hell. Let's go to 2 Peter. Now let's quit. We'll spend more time on false prophets.
2 Timothy 4.
No, we're not going there.
No, that's the one we were looking for, the parchment.
What?
The parchment rolls. 2 Timothy
4. Oh, 2 Timothy 4.
13.
Aha! It says books, that's what. And especially the parchments. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. Okay? Any other thoughts about all this? Think you can recognize a false prophet? Hmm? I believe you can too. I'm not too sure about Ronnie, but
I don't believe any of those guys. Period.
No, I know. I'm sure about Ronnie. I was just kidding you.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Christ.
Satan confesses that. It's only the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. What are you doing?
Ryan and I had a little brief conversation.
Would you like to share it with the rest of us?
I just told him it was 12
minutes. I think you're being very generous. It's at least 18.
Oh, get out of here, man.
Take it, big guy.
I'm the right weight.